You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Can man control his destiny? Can he change the shape of things to come?
And we're back, folks. Thank you for bearing with us. We had a little interruption here, and it's inexplicable. It really is inexplainable, but I think we can explain it in biblical terms, and there are some very strange things that are happening. Whenever we start warning you of what is going to happen and getting strictly into the scriptures, away from politics, into the word. Isn't that right, Joe? Joe Church? Hello, Joe Church. Are you there?
Yes, Rick. I hear you.
Did you hear what I said? We had some problems here and audio problems, everything. Inexplicably just failed. I mean, it just happened that we were not, we were being heard, but we couldn't communicate with Ken, the board op, and we had some difficulty in hearing anything else, any brakes or so forth, bumpers. So all of a sudden now you're here. We may lose you, you may lose me, whatever, but I gave it an extra prayer, and I anointed myself with oil. So we're going to do this, especially come hell or high water. So welcome to the program, Joe Church. It's good to have you back as a guest, and it's wonderful to be able to talk Bible with you. That's where the action is, and I know you want to get into, right into it without my you know, wasting any more time to get into the subject for which you came here to talk. And the subject has to do with who is Cain Seedline today and why is it they must be protected? What is their role? What is their purpose, right?
Right, Rick. You know, as we go deeper into the deception, needs be that we have to go deeper into the scriptures. So we're going to plow a little deeper today and let these scriptures touch the buds of your mind. This is going to be something new for some people, but we're going to touch on some scriptures and just read it as it is right from the Father's word.
Also, let me just state this at the beginning. We won't take phone calls on the air for this. We have people probably trying to get through before and couldn't get through. Phones were not working, apparently, and everything was haywire. But we will take, I think you will give out your number, your personal number, if people would like to call you and react to what we're going to listen to today. So Joe will give that number out a couple of times. And folks, listen in. If you have a question, you can always email me, rick458@cox.net, and hopefully that'll get through to me, and then I can relate it to Joe later. But we can continue, folks, next week into the new year. As Joe said, we can add on to today's program for time because of so much information. Next week, if we will be able to continue. It may be in the first hour, but just to warn people ahead of time, that's the ground rules right now. All right, I basically said it all. Now, go right ahead. Tell us how deep we're going to plow today, Joe.
My telephone number first, Rick, is 830-8457, area code 401. I'll try to mention it later on in the program. That's 401-830-8457. I'll mention it later, too.
Yes.
All right, we're going to start off. Why do the Kenites have to be protected? That's the question with the subject matter we're going to go into here. The Kenites being the sons of Cain. That's what that word means, sons of Cain. Why do they have to be protected? I'm going to read one verse here. And let's see. And Cain said to the Lord, this is Genesis 4:13, and Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear, because thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, now remember, he just murdered his brother and lied to the Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And in one case, one of the sons, Lamech, down a few verses down in 23, he said 70 and sevenfold, 70 times sevenfold. So interesting, the way this seed line thinks. All right, we're going to go from the beginning, though, just to get a broader picture of this. So let's go to chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain. She conceived and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again, now remember what she was doing. She was conceiving, and she had Cain. And she again, this word is Asaph in the Hebrew, 3254 in your Strong's Concordance. It means to continue to do or to continue in labor. And she again bare his brother Abel. So these were twins.
Mm-hmm.
And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the soil. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass as they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Now, this was because they were arguing over their religious sacrifice to the Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. And this was the first murder for religious reasons. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, he just killed him. He lied to the Heavenly Father on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
10. And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. In other words, you'll never see a Kenite farming a field to get a production out of it, because the ground won't yield for them.
Right.
A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. In other words, all his generations after him will be fugitives and vagabonds. And it shall come to pass that every man that findeth me shall slay me and his generations. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. So the Lord was protecting Cain and his seed line from here on out.
Right.
The Father was going to make him fulfill the negative part of his plan. In other words, these Kenites were going to be protected so that when Israel, true Israel, we found out later, when they sinned or fell away from the Heavenly Father, this seed line was there to correct them, be the correction rod that the Father would use to keep them in line or bring them back to him. So this is a very unique thing to some people that are hearing this for the first time, but you've got to understand that the key of David in Revelation 2:9 is a key that opens a door. And if you've got this key to who the Kenites are from Genesis, it's going to open the door to the scriptures. It's going to open up like a book. It's going to be a whole different book for you now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're going to read a whole different story now.
That's right.
And Cain went out from the presence.
Yeah. Without that window open to the whole picture, you'll never be able to get the light in. You're right, Joe.
Right. Right. It'll always be hacked and chopped. The message won't flow nice and smooth from Genesis to Revelation.
Yes.
And Cain went, at verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch and builded a city. Well, now, Cain went to this Nod, the land of Nod, to take a wife. Now, if we go over to the Strong's Concordance, we're going to plow a little deeper today here. We go over to the Strong's Concordance, and we go to the number 7014 in the Hebrew. If you look up Cain in the beginning of the book, and it'll give you the number 7014, Cain, Q-A-Y-I-N, the same as 7013 with a play on the affinity of 7069, Cajun, the name of the first child, who was Cain, also of a place in Palestine, and of an Oriental tribe, Cain, C C-A-I-N-E, and Kenite, Kenites. We go to, let's see. Well, I think that's enough for now. But you can go there, and it'll send you to a couple of different places. The pronunciation would be Kini, Q-I-Y-N-I-Y, a Kenite, or a member of a tribe of Cajun Kenite. Okay, so we're going to go back and realize that these sons were of an Oriental tribe. So it was Cain who was of Eve, but by a separate father, separate conception. So it was a, they were twins by, fraternal twins, not identical twins. They were fraternal twins by separate fathers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go over to 2 Corinthians 11:2. 2 Corinthians 11:2. Okay. 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, and another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. But the point I'm trying to make here is verse 3. That word beguiled in verse 3. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled. That word beguiled in the Greek, if you go to the Strong's Concordance number 1818, it's expatio. It means wholly seduced. That's mentally, physically, and spiritually. Three ways. This serpent was able
too.
To, yes, have sperm.
Yes.
So if you want to dig deeper, you can dig a little deeper in that. But here's the scriptures, the New Testament confirming this. Also, we're going to go to John, First Epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 12. First Epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 12, and it reads, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. He was of the wicked one. Who was the wicked one? Cain was of his father.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And wherefore slew he him? Because he, his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. You know, in a place in the New Testament, and I believe it's in Malachi, it says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, as a babe in the womb. Why would he hate a babe in the womb? Because of something he did before he was in his mother's womb. Like he said to Jeremiah, he says, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Where was that? Okay. Let's see. Let's go over Numbers 24:24. Numbers 24:24 in the Old Testament.
And Joe, also in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 25, where we read of the birth, of these two sons,
yes.
You know, and each one of them, Jacob and then Esau, and the problems they endured because of each's different disposition toward the Heavenly Father. One honored him, Jacob, the other dishonored him, and then, of course, he lost his blessing, his birthright, actually. And sure, what we saw was this perpetual enmity then as a result, right?
Right, yes. Okay, over in Numbers 24:20. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, and took up his parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Strong is thy dwelling place, I put thy nest in a rock. The Kenites hide within this rock. It's a hiding place. It's a nest or a hiding place. 7064. And look up the prime root, 7077, in the Strongs. But the Kenites always were able to use the ability that they had from the father to that he would protect them so that they would constantly have a seed line to bring through the scriptures and do their work, being his correction rod, if you will. And he said in a place, the Assyrian, who was the one that took the 10 tribes of Israel captive at a later date, he says, the work of my hands. The ones that took his children captive were the work of his hands, because his children went into idolatry and all other things, worshipped other strange gods, foreign gods. So they were the instrument that the father allowed to bring them back in. In other words, he blessed them, and then they go chasing other gods, and then they cry to him, and he'd take them back. So this was the perpetual story. Now let's go over to, but these Kenites, they hid themselves in a rock. In Deuteronomy 32, their rock is not our rock. They have two separate rocks. Their father is not our father. We're going to find out later. So let's go to Deuteronomy 32, 15 to 21. This is the song that the Overcomers were singing in the book of Revelation. So everybody should get to know this song right at the end time if you want to be an overcomer. So that's Deuteronomy 32. It's in Revelation 15. So Deuteronomy 32. And 32 and start with verse 15. But Jeshurun, who is another name for Israel, the true Israel, his children, wax fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Most people today have no idea that they're of the lost tribes of Israel. They all call themselves Gentiles. Many of your Christian churches, Christian people, they call themselves Gentiles. They have no clue. I call them the Ish people. When they went from the Middle East, from the Holy Land, and were scattered in the diaspora, they were scattered all over Europe. They went to the Isles of the Northwest, as it is written. They went to the Isles of the Northwest, which is Europe. The British Isles. British-ish.
Yes.
Brit, covenant-ish. Man, covenant man. Britain, covenant land. The Spanish. Ish means man in a good sense in Hebrew. Spanish. The Irish-ish. The English. The Danish. Dan, the tribe of Dan-ish, two Hebrew words. They don't even know their name is a Hebrew word, the name of their country.
Yeah,
Finn-ish. Yeah. Finn-ish. You know, I mean, it's amazing. But
right.
they're going to find out. And Jeshurun, these true Israelites, waxed fat and kicked. They became wealthy and rich, and built big cities, and did great things. And thou art waxen fat, and thou art grown thick, and thou art covered with fairness. Then he forsook God, which made him. Ah, big mistake. And lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Ah, look at all the things that I did. I. You hear them? I. Not that God gave me. Not the blessings that God gave me, but I did all this stuff. And they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, devils that denied Christ, not to God, sacrificed to others, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not, of the rock, capital R, that beget thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. Think of today, folks. Is he hiding his face from us today? And I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation. You hear politicians say, we're moving froward. Yes, froward.
Yeah, froward.
F-R-O
yeah.
instead of F-O-R.
That's right.
Children in whom is no faith. Children in whom there is no faith. Sound familiar? They have moved me to jealousy with that which is called, that is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. That, my friends, is a Kenite nation. He's going to provoke them to anger with the Kenite nations. They are going to rule over him. Let's go to Amos chapter 6, verse 14. Amos 6, 14.
I'm with you. Very important little prophet, too. Yeah, Amos is very important now.
Yes.
Go ahead, Joe.
Amos chapter 6, verse 14, and it reads, but behold, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, true house of Israel. You people right here in America call yourselves Italians and Irish and Scottish and English, and yeah, you Israelites right here in this nation, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, and they shall afflict you from the entering in of Hemath unto the river of the wilderness. The wilderness is, in the Hebrew, is the word Adama, which means dusky dark. And dusky dark, or the end of the day, the end of the day. And here we are, the river of the wilderness, which is the end of this age. We're right at the door. Now, remember Joel chapter 1, verse 6. Joel chapter 1, verse 6, that locust army that's talked about. For the sake of time, I'm not going to go there. But you can read that Joel chapter 1 and chapter 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Read that to yourselves. Read that to yourselves, what's going on today. A day of clouds and thick darkness. Boy, I'll tell you, the sun's shining brightly out here today, but it's very dark. Okay, so go over to that Joel chapter 1. Let's see. Let's go over to Deuteronomy. I'm sorry, Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 2. First Chronicles. First Chronicles, chapter 2, and verse 55. But before we do that, I want to go to the beginning of chapter 2. It says, these are the sons of Israel, the Israelites, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And then in verse 3, it says, these are the sons of Judah. Then it goes into an exhaustive name-calling of the sons of Judah. This one begot this, begot this, begot this, and Caleb is the son of this. And it goes all the way down to the end of that chapter, Chronicles chapter 2, First Chronicles chapter 2. And in verse 55, after giving the complete genealogy of the sons of Judah, separate from the sons of of Israel.
House of Israel.
Ten tribe Israel, yes. And the now this would be the priesthood. The tribe of Judah was always the priesthood or the seed line of the leaders. And the family of the scribes, which dwelt at Jabez, the Tarathites, the Shimeathites, the Shushathites, these are the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. Yes, folks, they did make it through the flood. And they came of Hamath, and the father of the house of Rechab. Rechab. Now, this is given some of the names of the family members of the Kenites. They were keeping books. They were the scribes. They were keeping books and records for the house of Judah, which would be the priest line and the king line. How do you like that?
I just was like reading that a couple of weeks ago in First Chronicles 2:55, right?
That's it, Rick. Yes.
It's at the very end of that chapter. And I said, my goodness. I said, why? Here it is right here. They're already infiltrating into true Israel and Judah.
Yes. Now let's turn to Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9. Okay. I'm going to kind of try to read this a little quick at this so we get it, let it touch the buds of our mind. And it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side of Jordan and in the hills and in the valleys and all the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hivites, the Amorites, Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, remember that Hivites, and the Jebusites, heard thereof. So these were the many of the Kenites. And they gathered themselves together to fight against Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeah heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and Ai, they did work wilily, which is trickery, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, and old, and rent, and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. What a bunch of play actors. These people were trying to work their way into Joshua's seed line, that seed line of Joshua, the priesthood. They wanted to work their way right into the priesthood. So they did trickery, and they did gimmicks, put old moldy bread in their pockets, and they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell amongst us. How shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye? And from whence come ye? Where you come from? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God, and we have heard thy fame. So in other words, they wanted to mix in. You finish reading the rest of that chapter, and you're going to get down to Joshua ended up taking them in. And that was the biggest mistake he made, because he found out that they were from the next town over. They weren't from they lied their way right into the priesthood. And you can see how that priesthood was polluted all the way through Ezra and Nehemiah's time, right up to the end to today. And even Jesus didn't deal with them. He didn't even point them out. He let them stay hidden.
Yeah.
These became water carriers and wood carriers for the temple. They made them servants. But they ended up, as you study through Ezra and Nehemiah, you find that they worked their way right up into the priesthood. 27:9. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place that he should choose. Now he took them in, and he had to deal with them for the rest of time. But if we go to Joshua 23... If we go to Joshua 23,
But you're right, Joe. You know, when Jesus denounced them, exposed them, and so forth, he didn't just do a complete cleaning of the house. He didn't do that at all because they had to serve to this very end and until the end of this age when they control the temple. And who sits in the temple in the end? Lucifer,
yes.
Satan, the bright morning star.
Matthew 23, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses. They wanted to take the place of the lawgiver.
Yep.
Okay, if we go over to Joshua 23, the father's explaining that you've polluted my sanctuary. Now, he says, I'll never clean it again till the end of time. Let's see, 23:11. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. In other words, follow his word and his teachings. Else if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you. If you go after a nation that doesn't believe that Jesus is the Messiah and shall make marriages with them and go in unto them and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. And boy, they're not being driven out today. They're coming in all directions. But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land. Boy, and this was a good one. This good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Okay, so let's see. We want to go to Jeremiah 35. Jeremiah 35. Jeremiah 35. All right. This is Jeremiah being told by the Heavenly Father to take the Rechabites. Now, the Rechabites was mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. These are the relatives of the Kenites, the Rechabites. Not to be confused with the Rahab and her sons. This is the Rechabites. So it reads, the word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go unto the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them and bring them into the house of the Lord and into one of the chambers and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jehazaniah, the son of Jeremiah. This is another Jeremiah. This is not the Jeremiah of this chapter. And son of Habazaniah, his brother, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, merciful, and sons of Indiglia, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, and the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. And they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, who was the Abraham of the Kenites, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither your sons forever, neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all the days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rahab, very, very follower of their father to the T. Now let's go over to verse 16. Now here we are again. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rahab, have performed the commandments of their father. Now these are the Kenites, folks. This is what the father thinks of the Kenites. Because they have performed the commandments of their father. Their father was the father of Cain. But this people hath not hearkened unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will bring upon Judah, through Judah, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, all the evil that I pronounced against them. Now, do we Christians have Jerusalem today? Because I have spoken unto them. The Kenites, well, let's read it. Because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard. And I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandments of Jonadab, your father, this is the Abraham of the Kenites, and in the New Testament they mentioned Abraham, but this is the Abraham that they were talking about, and kept all the precepts and done according to all that he hath commanded you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rahab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Isn't that amazing? They'd always have an intelligent leader. And in these end times, for the first time ever, they have a home in Jerusalem. 1948 was the year, according to the 70 weeks of Daniel and the 70 weeks of Jeremiah, the prophet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The good and bad figs were both planted in 48. These people are right in there. They work wildly. But the father protects them. You see how he protects them? He uses many of the Christian nations to protect them. They don't know why they're doing it. They think it's for another reason.
They're in bed with them.
See?
Literally. Yeah.
See? So, let's see. And let's see. Let's go over to John, Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 42. Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 42.
Yeah,
42,
Joe,
Joe,
we'll be out of time in about 5 minutes. So just to let you know, and then next week, I think maybe in the first hour, we may continue this for the two-parter, because there's so much here we need to know as we enter into the new year, okay? We need to know. Time is going to get short, so we need to know who they are and what their job is. Go ahead, Joe. Continue.
Yes. Okay, John chapter 8. Gospel of John 8:42. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. What word? This word. Ye are of your father, the devil. Now, this is Jesus talking to them. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's Just a side note, St. Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, after he had a face-to-face meeting in verse 12 with the Heavenly Father, Apocalypsis in the Greek, he explained his relationship to his former religion. You want to go and check it out. It's Galatians 1, verse 13. And also, Titus chapter 1, verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables. You might want to check that out. Or commandments of men.
Yeah, and seducing
so you might
want to
check those two verses.
Yo, seducing spirits is another term he uses later.
Right. Our pastors and teachers all over this land and all over Europe and all over the world, most are teaching that the Kenites are God's chosen people. Not mm-hmm. knowing the mixture, not knowing the difference between a true son of Judah and a Kenite that calls himself of Judah. Seedline Judah or a resident of Judea. Now, there's another way that you can claim to be a Jew, and that would be to live in the geographical area in and surrounding Jerusalem, and you would be known as a Judean, or you could call yourself a Jew, even though you were Irish or Scottish or Danish or from South America or anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, you could make that claim and not be lying, by the way. That's why it's important for them to have that city in these end times. Okay, let's see. What do we got for minutes here? Not much, huh?
About 2 minutes, Joe.
Let's see. Okay, my phone number again. Anybody that's got any questions, I'd be glad to spend some time with you. 401-830-8457. Give me a call and we'll discuss it, and I'll go into a little more detail. This is something I know to some is very new, but, you know, as you study the scriptures, you'll see a whole new book. You'll see a whole new book.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and, but the Father has to give you the blessing to understand this message, and a lot of it will come from the Hebrew.
Yeah,
let's see.
You know, Joe, especially now with what's happened with Jerusalem, the embassy, the so-called peace plans, all designed to create that lock grip, you know, that hold over Jerusalem as a united city under the Kenites, and then they can rule the world with their father, basically. Is that right?
Well, that's what the scriptures say in Ezekiel chapter 44, Rick. That is the millennial temple, they call it. And that's when all the kings of the earth come to Jerusalem to get their blessing from the Heavenly Father who dwells in the city of Jerusalem, which is then called Yahweh Shema. The Lord dwells here. That city will be changed.
That's not now. That's them. No. And what they want is the rule in the flesh body. They want everybody in human flesh under their control.
And the millennium is not in the flesh body.
Right, right. That's important.
If you're in the flesh body, you're in the too early millennium.
You're in the wrong place, the right spot at the wrong time. Very true. Joe, we're out of time, but I'm glad, you see, despite interference initially, we were able to get on, do this first installment, and I think next week, the beginning of the new year, would be most appropriate to get this under our belt and finish up this study.
Yep.
And people can follow suit. Like you say, we give them the basics, and then they can go and learn for themselves. But, folks, I wish you personally a good, blessed new year. And you too, Joe Church. And we're doing the work. I hope we're doing the right work for the Lord and no one else. We're not doing it for ourselves. And thank you, Joe. So God bless, and Yahweh bless you. We'll talk again next week, God willing, right?
Yes, Rick.
Newspaper, it has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, Does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.